Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm so glad that you are here. I just want to give you a little tidbit of information that this is my first time really preaching. And I'm going to tell you a funny story. So I grew up in church, and years ago, this was probably, I'm going to give you a hint. This year, I'll be 37 years old. Gosh, that sounds so old. But anyway, I know that there's probably some of you that are like, girl, you still a spring chicken. But anyway, for me, when I think back about this memory, I would say I was 22, 23 years old. And I was living in Eunice at the time. And the church that I was going to, actually the church I grew up in, the pastor's wife, I remember after church one Sunday, we went to the Chinese restaurant. That's when the buffets were pre-COVID, of course, 23 years ago. No, 23 years ago, that would make me, that would make me so young. Anyway, I think this was probably prophesied over me 23 years ago anyway. But when I was 23 years old, she stopped me. I remember I was in the line getting my fried pork ribs, okay, at the Chinese restaurant. And she was like, Melody, I just want to tell you, girl, that one day you're going to preach. And I remember standing in line to get my food and having this overwhelming, like physically ill, nauseous feeling, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to preach one day? No, there's no way. I can't do that. I can just sing in front of a bunch of people. I'm not going to preach. And you know what? Here I am today. So you're stuck with me. I'm so glad that you are joining me. I just want to give you a heads up that because it's my first time, I made notes and I like typed them out verbatim. So I'm going to do my best not to read all the things, all the words, and I'm going to do my best to keep eye contact with you. But I just want to say from the bottom of my heart that I'm so glad that you are here. And I urge you to stick with me. Stick with me through this. We are going to cover a lot. Don't let that deter you. We're just going to talk a lot about what the word says. And before we start, we are going to go ahead and pray. So why don't you bow your head, close your eyes, and join me in prayer. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for this day. I thank you that you have brought it full circle, that I am here with those who are watching with me online, that I'm here to share your good news and your love. Father, I ask you right now that you would open our eyes, open our ears, Father God, open our hearts to receive what you have to say, Holy Spirit. God, we dedicate these few minutes to you, and I ask you, Jesus, that when people stop the video, that they would leave changed and they would leave knowing you more. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Okay, so today is the 4th of July. And when you think of the 4th of July, you think of independence, freedom, you think of fireworks, barbecue, all those things. Well, it got me thinking about what true freedom is. And that's freedom from sin because of Jesus Christ. So before we talk about that, I want to talk about what sin is. I really like to define words so we really know what they mean. I looked up in the Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology. So I'm going to read this to you. It says, sin is a riddle, a mystery, a reality that eludes definition and comprehension. Perhaps we most often think of sin as wrongdoing or transgression of God's law. This is the part I like. Well, sin includes a failure to do what is right, but here it is. But sin also offends people. It is violence and lovelessness toward other people, and ultimately rebellion against God, because God says that we should love everyone. Further, the Bible teaches that sin involves a condition of which the heart is corrupted and inclined toward evil. And when I read that, you know, I found all these definitions and everything. Oh, sin is just wrongdoing towards God, rebelling against what the Bible says and everything. But then when I found this description, and if you want to look it up, it's Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology. That's a big word. When I found that part that says, sin also offends people. It's violence and lovelessness. It's a rebellion against God. It's a condition of the heart where the heart is corrupted and inclined toward evil. You know, Romans 3, 23 and 24 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of sins. Because of what Jesus did for us, we are free from the power of sin that leads to death." So if you have your Bibles with me, go ahead and grab it. Pull up your phone app, whatever. There's just something about paper. It's great. You can make notes with a pencil. Do you remember how to do that? Anyway, it's just the life-giving. Grab your Bible. Go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to give you a second to get there. Romans 8, verse 1 through 4. Here we go. "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. God did what the law could not do. He sent his one and only Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit." You know, God provided an answer to the darkness of this world, and that answer is Jesus. When we surrender our lives to Christ, we are justified and made righteous through redemption provided in Jesus. As believers in Jesus, we now have rightness instead of wrongness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin that we could be made right with God through Christ." So before we will behave rightly, we have to believe that we have been made righteous in God's sight because of Jesus. And when we believe that, our desires in this life change. We want to turn from those selfish, sinful ways, and we want to do what's right. And we actually want to ask the question of that bracelet that everybody wore: what would Jesus do? I actually had one and I loved it. I wore it a lot. I think that was in kindergarten class. Anyway, it's true. We need to ask that question. What would Jesus do? So here's the thing. When we become Christians, if we are set apart, if we are set free from sin, then I ask these questions. Then why do we still sin? If we're free from the bondage, from the darkness of this world, why do we still sin? Why do we still fall short and mess up? And how can we really live in true freedom from sin? First of all, we mess up because we're human. And the only one who is sinless is Jesus. There was a song lyric from a singer-songwriter. His name is Terry Scott Taylor. And it was something like, "There's still dust in my veins." You know, God created us as human. We are not these heavenly beings. We have our own will. We have the flesh and the spirit inside us. We have dust in our veins, so we're not perfect. As Christians, our behaviors and hearts are to reflect Christ. So that's what we're supposed to do, not be Christ. We are to reflect his personality and his image. So here's the thing. How do we accomplish this? Stay with me. Don't press stop. Stay with me. Here's where it gets really good. So we accomplish this by a journey and a process that takes a lifetime. And it is referred to as, you ready? Progressive sanctification. I'm going to say it again. Progressive sanctification. I told you I like to do definitions. So I looked up what sanctification means. And it means to make holy, set apart as sacred, consecrated to purify or set free from sin. Progressive sanctification gradually separates the people of God from the world and makes them more like Jesus Christ. But there's a difference between sanctification and justification. Justification is the one-time work of God. Because of the work of Christ on the cross, we can be not guilty before him. Sanctification is a process beginning with justification and continuing throughout our life. Justification is the starting point of the line that represents our Christian life. Sanctification is the line itself. It's the line that we walk. For example, if someone battles with a drug addiction and then they suddenly get clean, then that one-time thing, they're clean, that is justification. But every day that they wake up and they choose to live a drug-free, clean life, that is what sanctification is. So sanctification is a three-stage process, okay? Past, present, and the future. So the first stage of past, it's the beginning of our Christian lives. It's that where that justification fits in. It's the initial moral change, a break from the power and the love of sin. It's the point where believers can count themselves dead to sin, but alive in God. In Romans 6:11 says, "So you also should consider yourselves to be dead of the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ." In Romans 6:14 says, "Sin no longer is your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." There's like a rearranging and a reorientation of desires, and we develop a love for righteousness. That's what Paul says in Romans 6:17 through 18. He says, "Thank God," and this is how I read it, instead of "thank God, once you were slaves," I read it as, "Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from the slavery of sin, and you have become slaves of righteous living." So the second stage, that's what we're in. That's this line. It's the present. This requires a lifetime to complete. This is where our behaviors and our hearts change to be more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 18 says, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Like we prayed, God, remove our blinders, open our ears and our hearts, remove that veil so we can hear from you today. "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit is, there is freedom." So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. This happens through daily spiritual renewal. My husband and I were talking about this, and I was like, how can people say, "I believe in Christ, that he died for my sins," and then they just go on and do what they want? And you wonder, do they really have a relationship with the Lord? And Jared, he said, "Well, you remember back in the Bible, it's daily spiritual renewal. It's working out your salvation every day. It's continued sanctification." So I looked that up, and then this is what the path brought me. It is taking off your old clothes, figurative speaking, like Colossians 3:10 says, "Put on your new nature like new clothes and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him." To be a Christian is more than just making good resolutions. How many of you know that when you make resolutions on January 1st, a lot of times by January 25th, you ain't doing them? And so it's more than just having good resolutions and good intentions. It means taking the right actions. We have to choose to read, to study, to spend time praying and listening, to spend time praising and worshiping. This is how we grow and become more like him. It's like a continued education program. I thought that was cool. So when we spend time with someone in this continued education program and learn more and more about Jesus, over time, you just naturally become like them. Like, I thought about these old married couples that you see that have been married for like 50 years. They begin to look like each other. They begin to finish each other's sentences. They sound like each other. Even if they have a dog, the dog kind of looks like them. I mean, I'm not making fun. I'm just stating the obvious. That's what happens. Even me being married for like 8 years, we finish each other's sentences. We talk about things. We say, "Oh, well, I thought about this. And no way, I thought about that at the same time." So that just naturally happens. The more time you spend with someone, the more time you spend with Christ, the more you will be like him. So back to it. It all boils down to a choice. I had to choose to get up early before all the little children in my household to prepare for this message. And I'm going to be so honest with you that a lot of times I don't choose to get up early. I choose to sleep in because I am tired. But these past few weeks, I've gotten up early, fixed a cup of coffee. I sat all on the floor. I spread everything out in this studio on the floor, my Bibles, my notes, everything. I studied. I got the word in my heart, in my mind. to where I think about it all day. And I'm going to tell you, I feel so much more rich, so much more rich, because I know Jesus more, even after just those few weeks. So that's the second stage. It's a choice. It's our lifetime that it takes to get there. The third stage is the final stage, and that is when the believer's whole person is made complete when the Lord returns. Philippians 3:21 says, "He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power in which he will bring everything under his control." So on this journey of sanctification, we see the roles of how the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit work in our lives and how they work together. We see that God our Father is constantly at work in us. Philippians 2:13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He changes our desires, making us want to please him, and empowers us. He gives us strength to do so." We see Jesus, how he earned our sanctification, and he has become our sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 says, "God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit. God made him to be wisdom itself." Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he has freed us. He's freed you from sin. Hebrews 12:2, "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, by choosing to look to him, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." And then we see the Holy Spirit talking about that fruit that you can tell that somebody has an active, healthy relationship with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:11, "Some of you were once like that. You were once sinful, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." The Holy Spirit is the one who produces that fruit. Galatians 5:22. I know this is a lot of scripture, but keep with me. I want to make sure that you know that there is a foundation for everything that I'm saying. Galatians 5:22, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Our role, so that's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, that's their roles in our sanctification. Our role is both passive and active. Passively, we trust God to sanctify us by presenting our bodies to him as a holy sacrifice, Romans 12:1, and yielding to the Holy Spirit, believing that he will have his way. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "It's God's will that you should be sanctified." And then our other role, it's active. Actively, we choose to do what's right. There, that word again, choose. So I'm going to grab my Bible. We're going to go to 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance." Whew, patience. "And patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection." There's that love thing. "And brotherly affection with love for everyone." The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. So, we are passive in trusting that God sanctified us, and then we are active in saying, "I choose to know him more, to grow every day and be more like him." In order to be a mature, consistent Christian, we have to have a healthy balance of both passive and active. I remember the same pastor's wife that had told me, "You're going to preach one day," and I wanted to fall to my knees in awe and unbelief. I remember her saying, "You cannot be a wimpy Christian, because wimpy Christians cannot stand strong under the weight and the attacks of the enemy." In order to be a mature, consistent Christian, you have to have these things. You have to know the Lord and who he is. You have to have a balance. If you lean more to the passive side, that is going to result in spiritual laziness and just say, "God did it for me. It's a one and done thing." And you're going to have a lack of spiritual discipline. But if you lean more to the active side, then that's when legalism, pridefulness, self-righteousness come in thinking, I did it. I did all these good works. It's because of me that I'm getting to heaven. So we have to remember that we pursue holiness, but only as God empowers us and only as the Holy Spirit gives us strength. And I'm going to close with this. In the world, there is sin all around us. We can't escape it. But here it goes. 1 John 1:8-10. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be the first to say that I mess up all the time and that I'm not perfect and I'm human. But I know that every day I actively walk out my salvation with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't escape it, but we can be set free from it. We can live a justified, sanctified, and redeemed life. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I don't know where you are. I don't know if you have a walk, a relationship with the Lord. I don't know if you are in that place where you're saying, "Oh man, I need to be more active, or I need to be more passive, or I need more of a balance, or I think I'm pretty good." You might be in the place that you need to say, "God, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to work on, or I'm dealing with these things." You see, not everyone deals with the same sin. Something that my brother or my sister are dealing with, it might not be the same thing for me. And I might be like, "You could shake that," but it's a whole nother mountain for them. Only by the strength of Jesus and the Holy Spirit can we overcome this, and we can do it together. So if you don't have a relationship with the Lord at all, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. You might hear it called a salvation prayer, or getting saved, or becoming a believer, whatever it is. God calls us to recognize that we're sinners, to accept his forgiveness, and to walk daily with him. So pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would forgive me of all of my sins. Make me brand new. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again so that I could live for you. Fill me with your Spirit so I could know you, serve you, and follow you for the rest of my life. My life is not my own. Today, I give it to you. Thank you for a new life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, welcome to the kingdom and to the family of God. Let somebody know through the Connect card that you might fill out, that you found the link in the description. But also, I want to say a closing prayer, but I want to include those of you who may just be living a life of struggle right now. So go ahead and join me one more time. God, I thank you, Jesus, for this day that we were able to gather in your name. I lift up those who may be struggling with certain things. I ask you, Father, that you would show them that they can be set free from the chains and the bondage of sin through you, Jesus Christ, what you have done for us. I ask you, God, that you would show them how to walk out their salvation every day of their lives. May they leave encouraged, and may they leave how much you love and knowing how much you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me. I hope to see you back next week. You have a great day. Bye.